This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Give me an RC Cola and a moon pine, play Mabel on the hill. I'll catch that freight train on the fly, leave my corn down at the mill.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Way back in 1994, it was Captain Rodney's idea to throw a big party to celebrate Chattanooga-based Moon Pie's 75th anniversary, along with RC Cola, of course. Thus was born the RC Moon Pie Festival in the tiny crossroads village of Bill Buckle, Tennessee. 27 years later, the festival remains as a major event in Bill Buckle, with more than 30,000 people coming to participate in the festival. That, of course, includes the Moon Pie Throwing Contest. But wait, there's more. There's also a 10-mile run, live music, a parade, and an array of other fun activities the third Saturday in June every year. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer, reporting from the village of Bill Buckle, Tennessee. Come along and join me for a chat with local legend Captain Rodney.
And still, with an RC Cola and a moon pie, playing Maple on the hill. Give me an RC Cola and a moon pie, play Maple on the hill.
Captain Rodney, where are we?
We're in a wide spot in the road in Tennessee. We're about 45 miles from Nashville south, mm-hmm. and we're west of Knoxville, maybe 120, 30. We're at the geographic center of Tennessee.
Oh, interesting. You're near an interstate.
We're near three of them. Uh-huh. We have I-40 over to the west, and we've got I-24 and I-65.
So tell us about your world. I met you in Bill Buckle.
Bill Buckle, Tennessee. Yeah. That's how we got started there.
They broke the mold for that place, didn't
they? Really, really, really did. It's crazy. We started our company here as a result of my wife owned a shop in Bill Buckle, Tennessee. And then the front part was called Traditions, and it was all kinds of nice frilly things that girls would like.
Right.
The back room, we decided to turn that into a kitchen. And so we had an old wood stove we put back there, and then for decoration, we started making products. And my wife said to me, I need a product. At that time, Bill Buckle, and you saw some of the folks, everybody there made something.
A lot of artists lived there.
Every store had some kind of art in mm-hmm. it that they made. It was a sculptor there and did pottery. There was one store that did jewelry and made it on site. So my wife said, I need a product I can make. Why don't you make some of that pepper jelly? Because when I'd been flying in the Caribbean, I fell in love with the Scotch bonnet pepper. Even brought a plant back, nurtured it just like it was a baby.
In your backyard?
On my deck, behind the house. So my background was in aviation about 20 years, and when I came back, we sold off what we had. And
so your aviation company, you had charter or scheduled service?
We had charter. Uh-huh. Charter, and we also had a Cessna dealership at one location and a Piper dealership at the other, and we ran a flight school.
Wow.
And we used to do the weekend ground schools and had the FAA inspectors come there, and you could get signed off mm-hmm. in a weekend. It was very popular. We did that in Chattanooga.
Very cool. You flew out of Miami?
We flew out of Lakeland because we were buying and selling airplanes. And we had a facility there that would do paint and interior, mm-hmm. and we could rehab it. We would buy an old airplane, and it would look like it just came out of the factory.
So only because of time, we have to fast forward in your life.
Okay.
Back to Bill Buckle, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
What a tripped out place. It was a dying town in the 70s. They were ready to bulldoze it, right?
It was scheduled for demolition.
Mm-hmm. And the whole downtown.
The whole downtown, and they were going to put in, it was a convenience store with gas pumps, because it's at the crossroads of two state roads.
Like a Piggly Wiggly
I think it was going to be a Piggly Wiggly, yeah. I believe, but have the ones that have the gas stations outside.
Mm-hmm. But this row of historic buildings are brick, like what, 1880s?
It uh-huh. was built in 1850 out of wood, and it burned in 1856. Okay. It was built back out of brick, solid brick. The walls are four bricks thick, and it goes all the way up to the parapet to try to restrict fire. Mm-hmm. They were really scared of the fire.
So here you are, this tiny little town, Bill Buckle.
out by itself, barely hanging on, a little bunch of artists hanging out. And was it you that came up with the idea for the Moon Pie and RC Cola Festival?
We were sitting around, and Ida Francis Payne said, you know, this is the 75th year of the Moon Pie.
In Chattanooga.
In Chattanooga. Yeah. And said, what we ought to do is we should give them a birthday party. So that's how it got started.
You kind of threw them a curveball.
I did. Yeah.
You went down and met with the corporate boys in Chattanooga.
Sure did.
And your presentation was a moon pie throwing contest?
Yes. We were going to play moon pie games. Uh-huh. RC moon pie game. Because of the old songs, give me an RC cola and a moon pie. So we thought that worked together. And I remember talking to him, and I said, what are you going to do? Before we approve this, what is it you're going to do? I said, well, we're going to take moon pies, and we're going to throw them. So you can throw them the furthest. We're going to do boxing. He said, wait a minute. You don't throw moon pies. You eat moon pies. I said, well, we're going to throw some of them.
They weren't insulted.
No, they were two of the nicest people I've ever met, Sam Campbell and John Campbell.
And this was what year was this that you envisioned it?
This would have been in the early 90s that we started this. 93, 94, because the next year was the Atlanta Olympics. Mm-hmm. And so we fashioned all of our contests by copying those, like boxing. Okay, we boxed moon pies and RC colas. Yeah. And we did fencing. Of course, we built little plastic fencing. It was kind of new, so it was how fast you could build this fence properly, you know.
How funny. This is the 90s, and it wasn't a one-off, one-time thing.
No, that was, I think the first time was 95, uh-huh. And we've had it every year since then. And we always have a king and a queen every year, and we've had some pretty well-known kings and queens.
But it's gone crazy viral.
It has.
This little crossroads town today, only 500 people, mm-hmm. And how many people show up every year for the moon?
This year, we think it was over 30,000.
30,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
In one day. Of course, we have a run. Remember the Olympic? They had runs there, so we have a 10-mile run that is a qualifier run. So a lot of people come down so they can qualify for the bigger races and bigger towns. Mm-hmm. But it's on the third weekend in June, so it's a challenge. It's a real challenge, and they're running on the roads. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So by 6 o'clock in the morning, we may have 2,500 people in town. You know, the runners and their families and everybody else.
Yeah. But it's more than just a one-day event.
No, the RC Moon Pie Festival is a one-day. It's always the third Saturday in June.
Then you get 30,000 people.
Yeah, that's right.
But then you have another event or events that happen.
Yes, the Bell Buckle Arts and Crafts Show is the third weekend in October. The last estimate we had was 130,000 people that were there.
130,000.
Yeah, that was the number on 2019. We're going to see. Of course, 2020 was canceled. Yeah. So,
but 2019, I heard it was backed up all the way onto the interstate.
It was.
And actually, state troopers had to turn people around.
Well, they made them get off of the lane, the exit lane, made them go to the shoulder of the road. Yeah. And then that's when the state came to us and said, all right, we got to do something here.
And there's still only 500 people that live in
Bell. Oh, yeah. When we got there, it was 405.
Oh, so it's boomed.
It's booming. Yeah. I remember this guy came to me when we were at a show selling our product. I think we were in L.A. We were in California. And he said, it's got to be Bell Buckle, Tennessee. I said, there's not but one. He said, I went to Webb School there. I said, what did you do wrong? And he told me.
That's funny. Webb School is a legendary Tennessee private school.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it started in Culioca, Tennessee, very small town, smaller than Bell Buckle. And Sonny Webb, who was the founder, actually moved it because they had liquor there and they had beer. And he did not want his students there. So Bell Buckle gave him something like $200 to move it to Bell Buckle, to help him move.
How long ago was this?
Oh, this was, I don't remember the beginning of it, but it's been there for a long time. I think it was the early 1900s. And Sonny Webb actually filled out a term of, it was in the U.S. Senate. He finished the term and then came back and didn't run.
Tell us a little bit more about Bell Buckle today. And on a normal weekend, a non-moon pie throwing weekend.
It has changed so much, because when my wife had her shop, and this is in the late 80s when she came there and bought the building, and they would sometimes sit out on the quilt square and play games. Mm-hmm. They would put puzzles together. Or when she would leave and go to the cafe, she would leave the door open and it had a little note that says, leave the money on the counter. Now, I don't think I'd recommend that today.
Right.
But at that time, it worked really well.
You could probably pull it off today.
You might. You might. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. And then quilting. I heard somebody say there was like a big quilting conference here.
This was in the 80s, okay. In the early 80s. The National Quilting Conference was held in Bellbuckle, which was then had several empty buildings in mm-hmm. it, but they had a great, and it is still a center where people go to learn quilting.
Sounds like you're overdue. Bring back a national quilting organization.
You know, we do.
Yeah,
we have a little better infrastructure now. And we also have a woman that runs a bed and breakfast there that hosts conferences now, mm-hmm. but they're smaller conferences. It's 50 people or so. Quilting.
Yeah. Then the people that are just interlaced in the neighborhood. We went and saw somebody last night that was the poet laureate of the state of Tennessee, living around the corner.
Yeah, she is such a large part of what's going on there.
And her full name?
And her name is Margaret Britton Vaughn.
And they call her Maggie.
And call her Maggie. And Maggie has been the poet laureate for 26 years. Mm-hmm. And if I could give you a little short story, Brian, the boy we just talked about, youngest son, when he was in, I think it was the third grade, the teacher, or one of it was elementary school, but they said, I have such a great surprise for you folks. We have the poet laureate of Tennessee is going to come and speak to our class next Tuesday. Does anybody know Margaret Britton Vaughn? Of course, he was a young, he said, he raised his hand like that and said, are you talking about Maggie? That was Brian.
That's great.
You talking about Maggie?
Yeah.
I ate lunch with her yesterday.
How cute. But she literally is a part of the fabric of Bellbuckle.
She is a primary reason Bellbuckle is the way it is.
Yep.
That's why it has so many interesting people, we'll say it.
Mm-hmm. And she's attracted a lot of legendary people to come visit here.
Oh, absolutely. Just recently, you know, the Pickers. Mm-hmm. Mike was there.
Yeah, Mike Wolf was here.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that show.
Yeah, and he picked up one of the things, I think she told you which one, that he got from her. But Maggie has traveled all over this state and other places too, giving speeches. And when I have seen her, when she was just magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
It just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I don't see how you can hear, is that you, Mama? And not just have a little, maybe just a little in your voice and a little tear over here.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you try.
Yeah. A little bit about Captain Rodney and your next incarnation.
Yeah.
The accidental tourist.
Yes. Well, when we opened the store, my wife had a store there for years. This was in 1994 and 5. We had the back room in our store was called Bellbuckle Country Store, and we were going to do a mail order catalog.
And you thought you were basically retired at this time.
Oh, I was retired. I came home. I took a class with the Tennessee Department of Ag, became a master gardener. I'd put a 2-acre garden in. I could have fed the north end of the county. So Linda suggested, my wife suggested, that we take the bell peppers that we had and make pepper jelly, and she could have something that she makes, because everybody else made something.
Right.
It was made right there. Some folks came in, tourists came in from Centralia. We gave them samples of that, and the guy said, do you wholesale? I said, sure. So he took all we had. We had a few cases there, not too many. Brian and I were making it at home. So we remodeled the barn, got it inspected by TDA, and got everything where it should be. And then we outgrew it very quickly. We started going to Atlanta, L.A., Chicago, going to the gift shows and selling the products.
But then it grew beyond hot pepper sauce, right?
Well, the pepper jelly is very mild, but we've got five mm-hmm. hot sauces that are excellent.
Pickles?
Pickles, we make pickles, we make those, we got barrel-aged pickles. We do private label for some companies, but everything is done by hand. We hand pour the product. You saw back in the kitchen when they were working, making, using the fresh basil that they're putting in with the tomato sauce. And
source all your raw ingredients locally, pretty much. Right?
As much as we can.
Yeah.
We have a local farmer that grows all of our red bell pepper.
And you were out there looking on how they're doing yesterday, right?
I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're just as anxious for this crop as the farmer is. And he's a local guy. We try to buy everything local. Our labels are made in Pulaski, Tennessee. Our glass we buy mostly from Memphis. And we try to do everything locally. Pure cane sugar. We never use corn syrup. It is a process. You were asking me what the secret is here. The secret here is doing it the same way your mama did and your grandma did it. And it's all made in small batches using the best ingredients that we can find.
What's the number one most identified product that you make? Is it still your Captain Rodney's?
It is. It is the Captain Rodney's Boucan Glaze.
Okay.
That is our number one selling product. We have a recipe that's on the side of the bottle now that was named the number one tailgate recipe in the South. That really caused this product to take off.
And is it distributed nationwide or just
not nationwide? We have good distribution east of the Mississippi, and we have plans to head out over westerly here in the next year to go across there. But we already have some customers in Texas and Arkansas and Missouri, and so we're creeping that way just on word of mouth.
So you're gonna have to get a Boeing 737 freighter pretty soon, huh?
Boy, I would love that. I would love to have it. Or maybe we'll crank up that DC-3 out there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time. That means I got to come back.
Yeah, you need
for
to come
the Moon
back.
Pie Festival.
Yeah. And you come back for the Bell Buckle Arts and Craft Festival in October.
Yeah.
And the weather is usually really nice. Mm-hmm. The third weekend in October.
Yeah, the Indian summertime.
It is. Yeah. It kind of, it could be really cold. We used to sell hot chocolate if it was cold and lemonade if it was hot.
Captain Rodney, what a pleasure. Somebody wanted to learn more about your world here. Where would you direct them?
Go to our website. It's bellbuckle.com. Very simple, easy to remember. I'm Captain Rodney. I used to have a last name, but now I'm Captain Rodney.
Right.
I'm a cartoon character now, just like Captain Crunch.
I love it. Captain Rodney, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for the wonderful morning in paradise.
Tom, great to have you here. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the heartland of Bell Buckle, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Give me an RC Cola and a moon pine clay maple on the hill. I'll catch that freight train on the fly and leave my corn down at the mill. 'Cause I sold my calf for $1.50, so brother, I can pay the bill.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives. and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Give me an RC Cola and a moon pine gray maple on the hill. I'll catch that freight train on the fly and leave my corn down at the mill. 'Cause I sold my calf for $1.50, so brother, I can pay the bill. Give me an RC Cola and a moon pine, play maple on the hill. Riding saplings all day long, clearing Pap's new ground. But I'll be leaving before long, going into town. I may be just a country boy, but brother, I'd get my thrill with an RC Cola and a moon pine playing maple on the hill. Train on the fly and leave my corn down at the mill. 'Cause I sold my calf for $1.50, so brother, I can pay the bill. Give me an RC Cola and a moon pine, play maple on the hill. Give me an RC Cola and a moon pine, play maple on the hill.